Okay, thank you everyone for coming. Rabbi Schechter and I have a deal of no introducing each other at each other's shul, so I just want to thank you very much for coming, and we're very excited to hear his Divrei Musar heading into Chanukah Be'ezras Hashem.
Okay, so thank you. It's always a great kavod to be here, and it's always inspiring to see how this community comes out to learn Torah at all hours of the night. 10 o'clock at night is already late. So let's get right into it. This week's parsha, as we know, Vayeshev Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, Bikish Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. Yaakov Avinu wants to finally relax. It's time to retire. Time to take a step back and just enjoy life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that's not the plan. That's not what I have in mind. And as we know, the whole Kafatz Alav Rigzo Shel Yosef, all of a sudden the whole family turns upside down. And they have this issue with Yosef HaTzadik. Now there are a couple of points that one can, there are many, many things that one can focus on. But we're going to try to delve into a point that is relevant to the story of Yosef and connect it to Chanukah, because that is also Amid al HaPerek. Number one, something that always inspired me was the comment of the Kutzker. Yosef goes out, and he's traveling to look for his brothers. His father asked him to look for them. And somebody engages him in conversation, and he asks him, Mativakesh. So the Kutzker writes that it's important for every Jew to stop every so often and ask themselves, Mativakish, where am I headed? What am I doing? What is life all about? And what is the direction that I'm planning to take? What is the objective of all that I'm trying to accomplish? What am I trying to do? So that is an important thing to consider. And finally, when Yosef gets to the destination, his brothers begin to try to figure out how they're going to kill him, how they're going to destroy his life, and they ultimately do. And they throw Yosef into the pit. Reuven comes by Yetzileu Miyadam, a whole medrash there. Where was Reuven all along? How come he wakes up suddenly now after it's almost too late? But the medrash then gives us an insight into what was going on in the minds of all the Shvatim at this time. So says the medrash, Ba'osasha, after they threw Yosef into the pit, they assumed that he was dead. What was everybody thinking? Writes the medrash, Yosef hayasuk b'saka v'taniso. Yosef is bemoaning his lot in life. Can you imagine? I was the prized child of my parent. I was the oldest child of Rachel Imenu, the Tzadekes. And now all my brothers ganged up against me and they're destroying my life. And this is it. Yosef thinks life is over. The Shvatim are busy fighting with each other. Did we do the right thing? Did we do the wrong thing? Should we have thrown him into the pit? Should we have sold him down to Mitzrayim? Was that really the appropriate way to deal with our brother that we didn't get along with, that we didn't like? So all of them are fighting. And they're having a discussion. Yosef is b'saka b'taniso. Yaakov realizes that his son is nowhere to be found. So the Medrash writes, he also goes into a state of depression, a state of shock. Reuven is beside himself because he says, look, I had the opportunity to actually save his life, and I'm the oldest child, like the Medrash writes. I could have really done something. I could have influenced the rest of my family. They all look up to me. And Reuven also realizes he missed an opportunity to do the right thing. So he's busy trying to think about how he's going to deal with this problem. Yehuda, who also was one of the leaders of the family, writes the Medrash, what was he doing? Hayasuk likach loisha. Yehuda's busy, you know, maybe it's a nice time to get married. Let me go on a date. Finds a nice woman that he should marry, starts thinking about how that's going to work out, figures out how he's going to propose to her. And it seems so inappropriate. When all the brothers are busy fighting about what happened and about what should have been done, what shouldn't have been done, and everybody's in a state of depression and shock over the fact that they really just almost killed their brother and perhaps their brother will never come back alive again. Yehuda is using this as an opportunity to try to get married. Seems like a very strange thing to do, and it's the wrong time for it. So the Kutzker says, you're misunderstanding Yehuda's response. Yehuda was not being insensitive at all. Yehuda, in fact, was more crushed than any of his family members, than anyone else that was involved. And Yehuda says to himself, I was the older brother. Ata yoducha achecha. Yehuda was the one that everybody looked up to. And I failed miserably in my mission. And I allowed this to happen, which means it's really my fault. And it is impossible for me to ever do tshuva for this. Like the Gemara says, there are certain things in life, mu'uvas lo yachaliskon, certain things we do wrong, how are you ever going to do tshuva for that? How can I ever repent? I destroyed someone's life, I killed him. What can I do? Yehuda says, I have two options. I can end my life and give up, or I can start again from the Aleph Beis, from the beginning. Writes the Kotzker, the very first mitzvah in the Torah is Pur Revu. And Yehuda says, as depressed and angry and ashamed as I am of myself, I have the opportunity to look how I can start life over again. Not that I ignore what happened, but if there's no way that I can fix what happened, there is still something that I have the ability to do. I'm going to start my life all over from the beginning. The first mitzvah, Pur Revu, which is one of the most important mitzvahs. And Yehuda says, I still have an opportunity to live out life. Writes the Kotzker, that was the reaction, that was the response of Yehuda. He understood very well what it is that he had done, what it is that he was responsible for, what it is that he was involved with. But Yehuda said, it's not going to debilitate me, it's not going to destroy me. I will never allow my mistakes to paralyze me, because there's always an opportunity for a person to stand up again and to show themselves that there's an opportunity for growth, that you can go back to the beginning and start from the mitzvah of Pur Revu and live your life over again. Once again, not that we forget about such things, not that we ignore them, but that there is opportunity to move on after even a terrible mistake of this magnitude, of this proportion. My father writes in one of his svarim in the name of Reb Soloveitchik, and he talks about it very often, how when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Medrash writes, he was Borei Olamo Sumachrivan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created many, many worlds, whatever that's supposed to mean, and he destroyed them, and he started over again. And one has to wonder, if we say every day in our davening, Baruch Omer Ve'oseh, all HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do is say what he wants, and it comes into existence. He couldn't figure out how to get the world right. He had to create so many worlds in order for him to get the perfect world that he always envisioned. What was that about? Borei Olamo Sumachrivan, Rav Soloveitchik suggested HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us. Of course he would have been able to get it right, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to say, even if you've destroyed your entire world, and you've worked your entire life to build something special, and it's beautiful, and it's magnificent, and it all comes crashing down, either by something that you've done to make it crash, to make it be destroyed, or because of some other outside circumstance that made that happen, don't forget there's always the opportunity to be Bonei Olamo Sumachrivan. You always have the option, you always have the opportunity of standing up and understanding that you have the ability to recreate worlds again. Don't let it paralyze you. Don't let it debilitate you. And sometimes it's catastrophic. But that catastrophe cannot be the reason why the rest of your life should be destroyed. You have to focus on it. You have to think about what you can do to repair it. And if there's nothing that you can do, you pick up and you move on and you build new worlds and you start all over again. And it's not just that the Medrash writes that one has the ability to be Bonei Olamo Sumachrivan. I was thinking about it. When you look at Bria Sa'olam itself, at the beginning of creation of the world, we find so many things went wrong. Almost every day of creation, you find in the Medrash that something went not the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned it. On the first day, Miyad Acher Shabara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa'ar HaRishon, right after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light, he saw that it was too bright, and he was Gunuz, he put the Ara Gunuz away for Liyasid Lava. It was too much. What do you mean it was too much? Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't figure out how to make the sun with the right amount of light, with the right amount of proportion that was needed for the world. And you go to the second day and the third day, and you have the problem with the sun and the moon, and then you have Tachei Aretz Desha. Kadosh Baruch Hu's original plan was that Tam Eitzel Pir Yoshava, like Rashi says, and everything went wrong. Everything went wrong, and the Medrash shares these details to let us know that many things in our lives can go wrong. Sometimes they go wrong because we make them go wrong, and sometimes they go wrong because of circumstances that are way beyond our control. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're still going to have a functioning world. And you have the ability to make a choice whether you're going to look at that destruction and wallow in it and paralyze yourself and become completely debilitated, or whether or not you're going to stand up and be Bonei Olamos once again. Are you going to have the fortitude and the strength to build a world again and recreate your own identity and your own existence, even with this reality that you have set out in front of you, the set of circumstances that you now experience. On Hanukkah, we know, the Rambam writes that these were days that were nikva as Yemei Halal V'Hodah. These are days of great celebration, days in which we commemorate all the great miracles that happened in the days of the Chashmonaim. And the problem with that is, if you look in the Gemara Maseches Yuma, the Gemara makes it very clear, Bo Pritzim Echilalua. What happened in the times of the Chashmonaim? This was not a glorious period in history at all. So yes, in the end there was a war, and we won the war, and then there was the Pach Shem, and it's beautiful. But if you look in the overall perspective, was this a reason to celebrate? HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost destroyed his Beis HaMikdash. Everything that we knew to be Kedusha v'Tahara in the Beis HaMikdash was defiled. They couldn't find any way to serve the Ribono Shel Olam at that time. This is a reason to celebrate? Who cares that there was a miracle? What is the celebration all about? And why are we excited over the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was defiled and all of the Kedusha that was there was desecrated? And the answer I once heard from the Talon HaRebbe in Yerushalayim. Extremely insightful personality. And I once went to a shiur that he gave on Hanukkah when I was single in Yerushalayim. And he said an amazing insight. What we celebrate on Hanukkah is the fact that there were a group of Jews who had the courage, when after looking at all this carnage, at all this destruction, there was a small group of Jews that said, we're going to build a world again. We're not going to let this stop us from doing what our mission is supposed to be. That's the celebration, the determination and the courage of a group of Jews who are willing to look past all of the terrible desecration, all that was defiled, all of the world that came crashing down on them, and they're willing to look past it and say, we will recreate an existence for the Jewish people. We will rededicate a Beis HaMikdash. If it means building it all again from scratch, that's what we'll do. The Gemara has a discussion, what did they do with the Mizbeach? What did they do with all the Kelim that were defiled? So, if we have to get rid of the Mizbeach, so be it. Doesn't mean that the life of a Jew's end is over. It means that the Jew has the ability to stand up and recreate the existence that they want it to be. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, to be Bonei Olamos Umachrivan, and he says, perhaps that's the reason why we paskin lahalacha kavsa ein zakukla. That is not just a halacha with regard to Hanukkah, said the Talon HaRebbe. Sometimes in life we have candles that we work hard to create. We have moments that we are very excited about, and they go out, and they don't pan out to be everything that we expected them to be. Ein zakukla, don't turn around and forever try to fix those mistakes. It's not my objective in life to always look around behind me and try to figure out what can I do to perfect the life that I wish I would have had, that I almost had, that I should have had. The job that I messed up for whatever reason it was that didn't end up panning out, or the opportunity that I know I could have been so successful and it didn't work out the way I wanted it to be, or the children that I raised in the way that I never thought I should have raised. And now I look back and I reflect on all of it and I just wallow in my suffering and I wallow in my pain and I'm so upset and it paralyzes me. Say Chazal, Kavsa Ein Zakukla. Your candles on Hanukkah go out. It's not your job to go back and relight every mistake and recreate every problem that ever was in your life. Kavsa Ein Zakukla. Sometimes you need to learn. It's time to move on. Something didn't pan out the way you wanted it to. That's okay. You try to fix whatever you can, but if you can't, you recreate, and recreating is okay. And that's what we celebrate on Hanukkah. We celebrate the opportunity to start over again. The courage of those Jews who were willing to do that. And that takes such tremendous strength for a person to look at so much destruction in front of them and yet be able to look past it. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes a very beautiful insight. The Gemara in the end of Masechta Sota tells us there are a whole host of experiences that we will have in the days of Achris HaYamim. So the Gemara says that the economy is going to go haywire and it's going to be totally unpredictable. And then the Gemara says, Chutzpah Yazgi, people are going to be so disrespectful to each other to the point that Na'arim Pnei Zekenim Yalbinu, it says that the children are going to be disrespectful to their grandparents, and it says that the grandparents are going to have to service their grandchildren. Wild descriptions that the Gemara gives about Achris HaYamim. And at the end of all that, the Gemara says, you can look it up, it's the last daf in Masechta Sota, the Mishnah there writes, Ve'ein lanu al mila yisha'ein ela al avinu shebashamayim. Which, on face value, it means, we're going to look around the world and see how insane our world is, and see how impossible it is to live in a world like this, how everything that we knew to be normal seems not to be the case anymore. And we're going to throw up our hands and say, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is your problem, you got to take care of this. This will never straighten itself out. And at least we feel confidence in the fact that we have Avinu Shebashamayim. He's the only constant in our lives. He's the only thing that seems to be stable and normal in the lives that we live. Writes Reb Chaim Volozhiner in the Sefer Kol HaKosov L'Chaim, I don't think he writes it. I think it's a collection of his sayings and writings from different places. But they say that Rav Chaim Belozner there commented that you're misunderstanding that final line in the Gemara. Ein lanu amila hishayin ela alavinu shebashamayim is not our comfort. That is part of the curse, and that is the most profound part of the curse. Writes Rav Chaim Belozner, you know what the worst part of it all is? When society is completely being destroyed around you. When we have a social breakdown, when nobody can be respectful of each other anymore, when we don't even know who to trust, when we turn around and we see that politicians are so corrupt and the people who we once looked up to are not to be looked up to any longer, and so many people in our lives who we always thought we could rely upon, we see now that we can't. And when all of that is going on, you know what's even worse? When a person, when a human being throws up their hands and says, there's nothing more that I can do to make this world a better place. This is your problem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You throw up your hands and you say, "Ein lanu amila hishayin ela alavinu shebashamayim." This is becoming impossible. This situation will never be fixed. And now, God, I take you to be the one to take over this problem because I cannot influence anything around me any longer. I'm powerless. I'm paralyzed because everything that's going on around me is so impossible. Right, so Chaim Belozner, that's the worst curse of it all. When a person throws up their hands and says, it's the Ribono Shel Olam's job. There's nothing more that I can contribute. Nothing more that I can do. That's worse than anything else. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives us the opportunity, as he taught us from Maaseh Bereishis, to be Bonei Olamos U'Machrivan. Sometimes a world is destroyed, but we are always given the opportunity to partner with him, to recreate it, and to build something new. So the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, time is Myra? 10:15, really? It might be 10:16. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Hillel was once sitting there, that clock has a different time. Hillel was once sitting there next to all of his friends in the Beis Medrash, and he turns to one of his chaverim and he says, Ein Mashiach li Yisrael. And Rabbi Yosef has a double take. What did you say? Ein Mashiach li Yisrael, there's not going to be a Mashiach for the Jewish people? Are you crazy? And Rabbi Yosef says to him, Sharelei mara lehillel, I hope the Ribono Shel Olam can find a soft place in his heart to forgive you. How do you say such a terrible statement? Don't you know that we've been looking forward to the Mashiach for so many generations, for so many years? How can you say Ein Mashiach liYisrael? What, he would not be chorus? You don't believe? One of the animamins, one of the most fundamental principles of what the Jewish people stand for. So how do you understand that? Rashi says, obviously, Hillel didn't mean to say there's not going to be a Mashiach. That's basic. Everybody knows that. That's before you get started as a Jew. You know there's going to be a Mashiach. Rather, he meant, Ein Mashiach liYisrael, says Rashi, what it means is, we don't want a human intervention in the coming of Mashiach. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo, like we had by Kriyas Yamsuf. I want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself in the times of the coming of Mashiach. I don't want to have any human intervention that will veil, that will mask, whatever it is that the Ribono Shel Olam does. Well, if that's the case, ask Rav Soloveitchik, why were his friends so offended? That's a beautiful statement. I've been missing the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life, and I wish he would be reinvited in. And I want to see him in such a profound way where it will be so obvious, where there won't be any human beings involved. That's what I wish for. Isn't that a beautiful request? What's so bad? Rav Soloveitchik writes, the answer is, just as unacceptable as it is for a person to say there will be no Mashiach, it is equally unacceptable for us to believe that we will not have a part in the coming of Mashiach. That is an unacceptable statement, to throw up your hands and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our world is upside down and it's your problem to fix and there's nothing more that I can do and I can no longer be involved. That is such an unacceptable statement. And says Rabbi Yosef to his friend Hillel, Shari le mari le Hillel, the Ribono Shel Olam should forgive you. Because one can never have that kind of attitude, that Mashiach will come, but I won't have a part in perfecting this world. No, I always have that opportunity. I always have that ability, like Rav Chaim Belozner said, never say, Ein lanu al mili hishayin ela al avinu shebashamayim. That is a horrible attitude in life for a person to have. That is what Yehuda was busy with when he realizes what devastating consequences there were going to be for the murder, almost the murder of his brother Yosef. Yehuda says, you can all live with your depression, you can all just suffer, you can all cry for the rest of your lives, but you know what I'm going to do? Haya asak likach lo isha. Yehuda says, I'm going to recreate my life, because there's no other choice. to live a life of depression, of being sad, of reflecting on all of the terrible devastation that I caused with nothing that I can possibly do to help it now, that is never the right answer. And he learns from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, who is the ultimate Bone Olamos Umachrivan. Writes the Kutzer, that's what we walk away from when we learn the story of Yehuda and all the brothers, how they reflected on the tragedy. And says the Talmud Rebbe, that's how we think about the great miracle of Hanukkah. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the opportunity to have the courage and the strength to stand up and recreate an absolutely broken and devastated world that Klal Yisrael was living in and experiencing at that time. With that, I wish all of you a Freilich and Hanukkah. Thank you.